Today's message will be entitled Jacob and Esau, and we'll be looking in Genesis chapter 25, and I want to begin reading in verse 20. It says, "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.' And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." Verse 27, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink. And he rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Our last message, we tried to look in Genesis chapter 24, how that Abraham chose a bride for his son Isaac, and her name was Rebekah. And in Isaac, he was the true heir of Abraham. He was the one through whom the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come, and Isaac is a picture of him. He's the heir of all things. All the blessings are included in him. And our Lord said that in Isaac, all the world will be blessed through him, and that's a picture of Christ our Lord. And in this chapter now, we come to Abraham and bore Isaac, and Isaac has married Rebekah, and they've been married for, he was 40 years old when they were married, and we find out in verse 26 that he was 60 when the children were born. But Rebekah, like Sarah before her, she was barren. She was not able to have children. God had told Isaac that he would be the heir, and that the heir would come through him. But the more they go, the older they get, they see that they cannot produce a child. And they go to inquire of the Lord. So they prayed for 20 years that God would enable Rebekah to conceive, for 20 long years, and they had to wait. And they are waiting and they are trusting God. The promise depended upon God and God's faithfulness. God had promised to Abraham, God had promised to Isaac, and he doesn't have any children. Now, if you'll read the other accounts about Ishmael, his Abraham's other son, every time he turned around, he was having children, but not Isaac. And it seems to be always that way with the people of God. Sarah was that way. Rebekah's that way. And others in the Scriptures. But they inquired of the Lord for 20 long years, and God is the only one that can enable her to have a child. We see in this that often God's people are afflicted, and it seems like the people of the world are blessed. But God always remember that God does all this to his people so that we will trust him and not in ourselves. He is the God of all grace, and all life must come from him. The fulfillment of the promise rested upon the faithfulness of God, not upon the faithfulness of Isaac and Rebekah, upon him. And that promise is Christ. This happened to him, and God told him that he would have a son. Not only was he going to have a son, but he was going to have two sons. Isaac and Rebekah had been taught by Abraham that the promised Redeemer was to come through them. This was their hope, and this is what they live for. They are looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they've waited for 20 long years, and now she conceives. She conceives. God answered their prayer. God's faithful to his promise, to his covenant. And it says in verse 22, we see the conception. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. They didn't try to help God out as Abraham and Sarah did. You remember how that Abraham went in to say Hagar, and she conceived and had Ishmael. During that 20 years, they didn't. They waited faithfully and patiently upon God. And here in her conception, this struggle begins to go on. She said, "If it be so, if I'm the one through whom the Redeemer, the promised seed, is to come, why is this struggling going on?" She had these questions, and she went to inquire of the Lord. This struggle was on the inside. She couldn't understand why the struggling was. I can see her going to other women. I can see her go to other women and say, "When you conceived, was it like this with you? Did you go through these? Was it like this struggle on the inside?" I read from somebody years ago, I can't remember who it was, that the struggle was so great that she thought that those two children were either going to kill each other or they were going to kill her. This struggle that was going on the inside, and it said that she went to inquire of the Lord. Most believe that Abraham was still living at this time, and I can see her. If I'd been living in the days of Abraham, I would have went to Abraham and said, "Abraham, can you help me out here? What's going on? I'm confused. I never imagined that it would be like this, this struggling that's going on." And I see here a picture of when God begins to work in the heart of a believer or heart of a sinner, how that God begins to bring this struggle. They're confused. They don't know what's going on. But what happens is there's life. There now is a struggle between the new man and the old man. Life begins at conception. We don't know when a person is born again. But he's born again when the Spirit of God begins to work in the heart and the womb of that sinner. And here this struggle is. Rebecca has to have some answers. So she inquires of the Lord. What does this mean? God tells Rebecca what is going on. And he explains this to her, we see here in verse 23. "And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.'" He says, there's two nations. There's two manner of people. "Shall be separated from thy bowels. The one shall be stronger. The elder shall serve the younger." And God explains to Rebecca, before these two boys were ever born, what they will be like and what they represent. She now finds out that she not only has one, but two sons. And before they were born, they were already struggling. One was stronger, one was weaker. One was striving for the birthright, the other not. They both wanted the preeminence. One would be stronger, one weaker, one older, one younger. What does this picture? It pictures the old nature and the new nature. There is a struggle between grace and corruption in the soul. Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." God is telling Rebekah that before these children are born, that he is sovereign in all things. All things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist. God brought this to pass. God is ordering all these things. And in Romans chapter 9, Paul the Apostle uses this to illustrate God's sovereign election in grace. Now listen, Romans chapter 9, verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come. That is the promise. God told Abraham, when Sarah, remember, they tried to help God out and produce Ishmael. But the promise is, here's the promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, who's the heir of all things, who is the son of the promise. Here's what he says. For the children being not yet born, talking about Jacob and Esau here, neither having done any good or evil, before they were ever born, they hadn't done any good and they hadn't done any evil. They've not even been born. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It is said to her, as we read here in Genesis, the elder will serve the younger. The elder, the oldest, will serve the younger. As it is written in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Before those boys were ever born, God chose and set his love upon one and left the other to himself. But also we see here in these two natures, Esau's a picture of the old man that's born first. He's the firstborn. Jacob, the beloved, the new man, who's accepted of God. And Esau, the old man, who's never accepted. They struggle. We find this plumb back in the book of Genesis chapter 3. I believe it's chapter 3 when Adam and Eve came together. As soon as they came out of the garden, Eve conceived, and she bare Cain. Then she buried Abel. And you remember that struggle. Cain killed Abel. There's an enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And that's what this struggle's all about. And God explains it to her. Between these two childs, two nations, their birth, verses 24 through 26. And when her days, Rebekah's days, to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Esau was born first. He came out red all over and was like a hairy garment, so they called him. That's where he got his name Esau. Jacob was born second. He's the younger. He came out. As he came out, he grabbed Esau by the heel. So that's where he got his name, the trickster or the surplanter. He's trying to latch hold of the firstborn. Esau was born first. Then we see in verses 37 through 34, we see these sons. Esau was born first. Jacob was born second. Nothing is recorded while the boys were young. We find out before their birth. We find out that God chose one and rejected the other. We find out that God passed by one and chose the other. We see that God says the elder son. Now, before they were born, the oldest son is going to serve the younger son. Who determined which one was born first? God did. People say, well, that's just not fair. God controls all things. God is sovereign in all things. Can he not do what he wills with his own? Isaac was his. Sarah, Rebekah was his. They're going to conceive when God sees fit. God gave them life. And when God gave them life, he gave them these two sons. One was older and one was younger. But what I want you to see, that these two boys were raised in the same house. They were taught the same truths about God. Abraham taught Isaac, and Isaac taught Jacob and Esau the things of God. He taught them that one day God was going to send a deliverer into this world. And that God was raising up a people. And through that people that he had set apart for his own purpose and his own love and grace, he would set them apart. And through them, the Lord Jesus Christ would come, who's the heir of all things. That's what all these things picture in the Old Testament. Now, this is history. I know these people really existed. Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Esau, they were real people. But they picture something. They are pictures of Jesus Christ and how he redeems his people. But both these boys were instructed. Both of them were taught. And they were taught what? The significance of the birthright. See, the birthright was Isaac's. It was his by birth. It was his by promise. Now listen. Because he was born first, he had the right, the birthright. It included both spiritual and material blessings. The holder received a double portion of the inheritance. Deuteronomy 21:17. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. The firstborn was the head of the family. Was the head of the tribe. And above all, he was the spiritual leader of his house. Isaac instructed his family in the things of God. That was the responsibility of the firstborn. That was his right. He was the beginning of strength. He was the spiritual leader of his people. And in this case, he had the privilege of being the ancestor of the Messiah through whom he would come. That's what the firstborn was. Esau was the oldest. The birthright was his by right. He didn't have to work for it. He didn't have to earn it. It was his. It was his by birth. It says that he was a cunning man, a man of the field. Esau was a man of the field, and this is always a picture of the world. And the word hunt is always used in the Scripture in an evil sense. It said he was a cunning man, a hunter. He was a man of the field, a man of the world. Let me give you a couple of Scriptures. Proverbs 6:26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none right among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Two men are called hunters in the Scriptures. Nimrod, who built the Tower of Babel, and Esau, and both of them were judged. That's what Esau was. He's the firstborn. He's a man of the field. He's a man of the world. It said he was a hairy man. And Robert Hawker said that word means, Esau means he was the perfect man. So what do you mean the perfect man? We would have looked at him and said that he's the perfect specimen of mankind. Like Adam. Adam was the perfect man. But he fell in the garden. And Esau became Edom, who was cursed. Esau means red. Adam means red. Red earth. Jacob was the younger. He was outwardly speaking the weaker of the two. He was the younger. It says he was a plain man and dwelt in tents. I can kind of see him as a mama's boy. But as he dwelt in tents, he was like his father. He was a tent dweller. What did that mean? He never settled down. He looked for a city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. His place was not in this world, and he knew it. He was a tent dweller. What's a tent? You can pick it up and move it. He sits it here one day. He dwells where God wants him to dwell. And when God sees fit to move him, he picks up his tent and he moves. Like his father, I can see him that he kept sheep. And I can see him, though, sitting in the tent with Abraham, wanting to hear more about his birthright. Tell me more about that one that is to come. God revealed these things to Abraham. Abraham revealed these things to Isaac and revealed them unto his sons. Both of these sons were taught these things. And then it says that Isaac loved Esau. The daddy loved the boy. Why wouldn't he love him? It says he loved him. Let me find the scripture. Verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because. There's always a because. There's always a reason. Why did he love him? Because he loved his deer meat. He loved the venison. Oh, this is my boy. Look at him. He's a big man. He's the outstanding man, strong man in the world's eyes. Do you get the picture? This is what he pictures. This is what he illustrates. But it just says, Rebecca loved Jacob. Now, God revealed to Jacob, and I believe God revealed to Isaac also, that elder boy was Esau. He's going to serve that younger boy. Why? God said so. God said so. And Rebekah loved Jacob. And these two sons, we see a picture of the old man, the depraved nature. He's the oldest. He was born first. Your old man was born first. Your old man came into this world first. He's first. He thinks he's strong. He thinks he's able to do all these things. And he always goes after the things of the world. Your old man will never seek the things of God. There's none that seeks after God. Esau would have been a man's man. Big, robust, not afraid of anything. Outwardly, he would have been the one we would have chose. We would have been just like Isaac. We'd have set our love on Esau. He's the big hunter. He's loved by his father. He had the respect of the world and everybody around him. To me, he represents just like David's eldest brother when they brought him in before Samuel and they was going to anoint him a king. Samuel looked at him and said, well, this one must surely be the man. That's how we always look. God said, listen, Samuel, you look on the outside. God said, I'll look on the heart. I've sought me a man after my own heart. Let me read you this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why did God do this? Why did God pick Jacob over Esau? Right here it is. That no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh. Say, well, look at Esau. Oh, he's the one. No, God left him alone. But Jacob, he would have been the one that was despised in the world's eyes. I said, he's just a plain man. Just a simple man. But he represents the new man. The one that's born second. But the elder will serve the younger. In the world's eyes, he looks like the weakest, but he's the strongest. Jacob saw, I want you to see this, Jacob saw, there's so many differences between Jacob and Esau. You can see him, one's a hairy man, one's just a plain man, one's accepted in the world's eyes, one's despised in the world's eyes. But Jacob saw the importance of the birthright. It was promised to him before the world was ever born, ever made. Before he was ever born, God promised it to him. Promised before Jacob or Esau had ever done any good or evil. Hadn't done anything. They'd not even been born. God determined to show mercy on that boy. God picked him out. You know what? God said, that's the one I will accept. Based upon his grace. What made the difference between Jacob and Esau? Grace did. And he made up his mind to get that birthright. Even when he was born, he was grabbing after his brother's heel. He should have waited on God to give it to him. We see here that Esau comes in one day. He's been out hunting all day long, and he's just flat wore out. He thinks, he said, I'm at the point to die. What does that show? The things of the world can never satisfy you. And he comes in. He's not been interested in Jacob before. And he says, give me some of that red stew you've got. And then Jacob says, okay, I'll give you the red soup or the whatever it is if you'll sell me your birthright. If you'll sell me your birthright. Now, it was wrong of him to try to buy the birthright. It was his by promise. And eventually, God would have gave it to him. And God did eventually give it to him. But we see here that Jacob saw the importance of the birthright. Esau didn't. It says Esau despised his birthright. He knew about it, and he despised it. He said, give me some of that red stew. He was ignorant to the things of God. A man cannot in himself understand or comprehend spiritual things. He could not understand it. They're foolishness to him. So he willingly, he says, give me whatever it was. He said, give it to me. I want it so bad, I'll sell my birthright. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau despised the birthright. What does that mean? He despised the things of God. He says, what good is that birthright going to do me? Jacob saw with the eye of faith. Esau couldn't see it. He knew about it, but he said, shoot, what good is it to me if I'm going to die? Here, take it. What did he despise? Let me tell you what he despised. He despised the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the first begotten from the dead. He's the firstborn of all things. Everything here pictured Christ, and he said, I do not want him. He says, I choose the things of the flesh, the fulfillment of the flesh, this one bowl, he said, one morsel of meat. He actually chose one morsel of meat over the Lord Jesus Christ. And men choose to fulfill the lust of this flesh over the things of God. Men today still sacrifice everything for a little fulfillment of the flesh. Talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. But Jacob wanted the birthright. It was not his. It was his brother's. He said, but I've got to have it. And all God's people are pictured in Jacob. We're called the sons of Jacob, the chosen of God, that nation that is set apart, the elect of God. They must have Christ more than anything else. And that's what we see here. And my question to you is, are you a Jacob or are you an Esau? Will you despise the birthright? Will you despise Christ? Will you sell Christ just for the lusts of this flesh, for the fulfilling of the flesh? Or will you look to Christ? Our Lord said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We must have Christ or we'll perish. May God bless this message to your heart. Amen.